Hi, this is John Delancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Adam Mastriani, and you are listening to Altered Geek.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure in geekdom is TFG and Mike.
Hello, I am here.
He is here. And Mike Booth Ninja.
Yes.
Yes.
I am here. I'm alive.
Yep. It's been quite a while, honestly.
It's been 2 years.
Don't make me feel bad.
Not trying to make you feel bad. I'm just okay. So, I was doing some research to figure out, because originally I thought it had been 5 years since you had been on the show. When we did the 8-year anniversary in August of 2021 is the last episode that I have you listed on, and I listened through the audio to make sure you were actually there and I didn't just write your name down. But yeah, welcome back.
Thank you. I needed to do something different.
Cool.
So.
Awesome. What have you been doing since the last time we talked to you?
Well, geez. Since the pandemic and everything, everyone just kind of settled into a new normal.
Yep.
Normal for me was working from home, which was getting done at 4 p.m. and going and sitting on the couch downstairs and just playing video games for the rest of the night.
Right.
And that's been fine, except I've been doing that for consistently every day for the last 3 years. Thought it was time to try to break out of that. And I looked back into trying to start back up the Geek Stuff Garage Cast with my guys. And then I was thinking about I think the last time I had talked, I feel like I had talked about my experiment with trying to stream Super Nintendo games.
Yep, I remember that.
And so I had that on the back burner. I thought about doing that, and when it came down, I went through and I bought software and equipment and.
I remember that because I was at a few of those streams when you and Joe were testing.
Yeah, and It just came down to I just remember back in the day having to wrangle everybody together.
Right. Yeah.
that was the least fun part about it. And I kept going, well, maybe if I can get everyone to just guarantee that they're gonna be there one night a week and I don't have to wrangle everyone, then I was that's even too much of a hassle. for me right now, especially after doing nothing for, 3 years.
Yeah, I've been doing nothing all my life, so I'm used to it.
Well, I mean, I don't want to say doing nothing for the last 3 years. I mean, trying to change something up and going back to what I was doing, but it just wasn't it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. And then at the beginning of this year, beginning of 23, I made the decision to drop social media altogether.
Okay. Oh, fun.
I took Facebook and Twitter off my phone, and my social media fix for the 6 months so far has only been the Apple News app on my phone.
Okay.
That's where I do my doom scrolling. because it wasn't that bad to go back to it. One, because Twitter became a fire show.
Yeah. It still kind of is, but it's kind of stabilized.
Twitter's been a fire show though since 2014.
Just kind of stabilized now.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is my experience with the whole thing is a little bit different than most people's. I think.
Okay.
I have used since 2010, I think 2010 or 2011. I used an app called Tweetbot.
Yep, I remember.
And I bought that app at least, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. I paid for the Twitter app that I was using. I'm not gonna lie about that. I paid $25 for it on my iPad. I paid probably $30 for it over a period of more than a decade. $30 mm-hmm. for it or more for having it on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. And right about the time when I was like, I think I'm gonna give this up, is when Twitter decided to, you know, pull the rug out from
under the third party app. Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I can't. I've seen Twitter without an app on top of it, and it's garbage.
That's why I use TweetDeck on the desktop, or I don't use it.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone uses the official Twitter app. So like, I was like, you know what? You took away my favorite, the only way I viewed your platform.
So then I'm not going to view your platform anymore.
Yeah, I don't have to use it. Which, you know, in turn, like coming in and trying to think about how to like do all this stuff, like kind of comes back around like full circle. It's like, I wouldn't even know how to get it out there because I don't even want to use the platforms to get it out there. Like posting links and stuff like that.
That's like, why you just tell me and I will do whatever you need me to do. That's what I'm here for. One is glad to be of service.
Well, I've dabbled in streaming this year. Like I streamed, or you know what? It might even be longer than that. I streamed like, you know, it was last year. I streamed a bunch of stuff, and this year I streamed a bunch of stuff too, but I don't stream in the way like most people want someone to probably stream something. Like I stream it for, in the hopes that people just want to watch the game or see the game. Like I'm not there to like do engage commentary necessarily. Yeah.
See, that's when I think you should do pre-recorded stuff. Like, I don't know, because you and I, this is the first time we've talked to Mike in a while, folks. Do you ever watch people, or have you ever watched people just do the playthroughs on YouTube of games?
I've watched playthroughs of other, yeah.
Okay, so basically that's what you're looking to do, is you're looking to do a silent playthrough. You might say in the beginning, hey, this is Mike Powers, or whatever you want to say, and here's my playthrough of this game. And then you just turn your microphone on mute and just play the game while, like you always play it.
Well, that's what I've been doing. It's just now it's like I've gotten into a rut too, where it's like it's hard for me to find something to play that's not Fortnite.
Okay.
Because I don't like open world games. Like I there's only like there's a certain game criteria that has to be met in order for me to want to sit down and play it.
What is that criteria?
Just it's got to be, I need like a single player thing. I don't like open world games. I can't stand them anymore. Okay. I think the most open world game I can probably play is Horizon Zero Dawn, and even then I'm angry about it. Like I hate playing that game.
Okay.
But I like the narrative stuff. Like I streamed this year, I think I streamed both God of War games, or like late last year. Sorry. That's how time gets away from you, right? I streamed both God of War and God of War 2 in November of last year. So that was 6 months ago when I did that.
Yeah.
But no, I'm bouncing around here, and forgive me because I haven't done this in a while, but also because I don't have social media, I'm not able to share my thoughts that nobody cared about anymore. So.
See, this is why you come on Altered Geek and you tell us your thoughts. That way, when I go to publicize the posts, here's, and I know you deleted the app, but your account is still active. Here's at BoothNinja81, you know, from Geekcast Radio or from however you want me to, whatever. Like, here's his thoughts on, insert thoughts here.
Right.
Show up, talk, give your thoughts, and then let us handle the rest. That way you don't have to handle anything you don't want to.
Yeah, no, that's kind of what I was like, man, I think I want to get back into doing something where I can, you know, I don't want to say like vent, because I'm not really, nothing really frustrates me anymore, because I just stopped caring. But like, I still see movies, and like, you know, my wife and I talk about them, but we talk about them when we like, while we're walking out of the theater, and then we don't really talk about them again.
Okay.
So like, I just wanted like an outlet where I could edit, because I don't have it anymore, and I don't. I mean, I can talk with my friends about it too, but for some reason it's way different when you can just shout it into the ether and just be part of the zeitgeist for a hot second, I guess.
Absolutely. But. Yeah. Just to let you know, most of the audience should know this by now, but since the pandemic hit, since at the time Karen and I moved out to Washington State before the we moved out there in December of 2019. So it was right before everything started. Something in me cracked by the summer of 2020. And as a podcaster, I have just wanted to record with Steve or record with Kevin, a.k.a. Optimus Solo, or record with the people I know that I like recording, like yourself as well. I mean, Joe and I have been doing Turtles comics for 10 years as of next year on the pull bag. So, but in 2020, something in me was like, I want to talk to the people. Now, for 9 years or so now, I've had the Comic Origins on the pull bag. You were on one of those. I've expanded that into, like, all these other, like, in 2016, we jumped into Transformers. In the prevailing years since then, it's gotten into, what has it gotten into, Steve? Crap, I don't remember. let's see, comics. Transformers, Masters of the Universe, which we haven't really done many of those yet. Podcasting, so there's 30 questions about podcasting. And then when I brought ToyCast back 2 years ago, there's 42 questions about toy collecting. So I'm getting the stories of various – anyone that wants to tell their story is more than welcome to come on the GCR and Origins and tell their story, whatever that may be. So I understand the need to do something different or get back to something or try to figure something out. And I also understand the need of, crap, this is too much work. I don't care about this anymore. You know?
Yeah. And some of it, like – like going back to like the streaming thing for a second, like I would do that, but what, I don't have a desk set up. Plus I don't play video games at a desk.
Yeah.
I would need to come up with some type of setup to be able to do this, do it from my couch.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't work for me. So, but it's kind of what I've been up to is just like, I've been putzing around trying to figure out like something else to do to like get to be able to share my opinions in the way that I used to, like on Twitter, or engage with people like I used to on Twitter. And I'm kind of hoping this at least like gives me just a little bit of an outlet. And that's why I just kind of wanted to get back into this. But I'm interested to hear what you guys have been up to, because it's been 2 years.
Steve, you've got the floor.
Okay, so gotten back into like Transformers and Star Trek and things like that with not only the media but the figures or the ships or whatever. I've started doing like model building for some of the Star Trek stuff. I've been repainting Transformers figures to match the show content, or supplementing my collection with new ones. And then I've changed jobs again. I've been working on, because my birthday is coming up this weekend, and my wife has bought multiple things, and I'm not really sure what they are.
That's yeah. The whole point of a birthday.
Well, I know, but I mean, like, but I can't look at my Amazon or anything because packages are showing up left and right. And then she got me, because we have this little town, this little village town thing that my grandpa put together for his train set at his house. And years ago, I took the leftover buildings that he was going to just throw out, and I've been using it. And because my wife knows that the only way that I'm not playing a game or on the computer or something is if I'm doing something creative, like the model building or the painting of the figures or things like that. So she brought me a scenery building kit for those houses, and I made a custom mountain that I'm still working on, and it's proving to be interesting. But yeah, I mean, other than that, it's kind of what I've been doing, aside from playing some games or trying to revisit old ones.
Mm-hmm. And the podcasting, of course, because
yes, that's not stop.
We can't not stop.
I'm still here.
Yeah, exactly. I am a machine. As far as I go, what's the last thing you remember knowing about me as far as what I've been up to?
I think just your move, really. I knew about that.
But. All right. So which move?
Indiana. I knew you moved. Okay. I knew you moved back.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's, I've moved back and pretty much all I do is record, edit, and publish. That's pretty much my life. I haven't gone completely outside of Funko with my toy collecting, but I've gone a little, I've got a couple of the 3-0 MDLX figures. I've got all kinds of lights and sound stuff and Steve likes and whatever some of these things, I think.
Yes.
So there's that. There's Optimus now.
Autobots, roll out.
And I already had Batman.
I am Batman.
So, yeah, I've got a bunch of things. I've finally gotten most of the art prints that I've had for years. I finally have them all framed. Now I just have to hang them all up in the apartment.
Nice.
So that's what I'm working on. Sadly, my PC of... Did I get that? Mom got it in 2010. That died earlier this year, or at the end of last. Forget when that. When the hell did that happen? I don't remember. My buddy Harrison had to build me one, so I have a brand new PC that hopefully will last another 10 years or so. So there's that. I'm just enjoying doing the podcasting. I'm trying to do some writing, but it's not really working so much. I watch movies and TV when I want to. Half the time, the sad thing is, half the time I'm like, okay, I need to go to sleep. Which episode of Forensic Files is going to put me to sleep? Because I've seen them all so many times that it doesn't matter what it is. I just like listening to the sound of, may he rest in peace, because he died a couple of years ago, Peter Thomas's voice.
So, no, yeah. I get that with the Forensic Files thing. The podcast I listen to, I listened to podcasts from like 2006.
Mm-hmm.
I have like the entire collection of like all the oneup.com podcasts.
Yep. That's nice. Classic.
And I had, so this is something interesting that I found out. I don't know if you guys knew about this. And again, if I was on Twitter, I probably would have added you guys, but okay. A few months ago now, I had this, there used to be this podcast called This Year Collection.
Okay.
It was one guy and he took all the podcasts that he listened to. And I apologize. There is a thunderstorm outside my house right now for the first time in like a month. So
well, we've been having it every day, and it's normally a drought here in Colorado.
I'm actually surprised it's not thundering here in Indiana.
It's literally been a drought for the last month, and right now it is just like nailing my house. And if it sounds very loud, I apologize for that for anyone listening. It probably sounds especially loud in here because it's hitting directly on my solar panels.
I can hear the hail.
That's not hail. That's just water hitting glass.
We get hail.
Wow.
So, anyways, I downloaded, he did a This Year Collection episodes for the 1UP stuff. So he had like the best, it was basically a best of for podcasts that he liked to listen to. So he had like This Year Collection for like Retronauts 2007, and it was like a 8-hour podcast. And he had like different ones for like the Games for Windows podcast and 1UP Yours. And I had those saved on my phone. Like forever, because he pulled his stuff down and he stopped doing it because he wasn't making any money on it. And but it was good stuff, and it was a way to revisit those old shows without having to like skip from one episode to the next.
Yeah.
Well, I went to go play one on my phone and they were gone.
Oh no.
Like, and I was like, okay, I'm mad. How can I possibly get the, and I found this out like right when I was getting ready to go to bed that they weren't there anymore. So I'm like, I got up out of bed, I go downstairs, I break out all my backup hard drives, and I'm looking through like Time Machine to find out like where are these files, and like I can't find them anywhere.
Okay.
So I found this website called let me see what it's called. Forgive me here, guys.
Okay, that's what editing's for.
No.
I'm interested anyway, just because I wonder if some of my bad content's there.
Oh no.
Have you guys heard of Forble?
No.
Forble.
No.
So I think the way it sounds to me, it's a website. Forble. It's a website that kind of runs on top of archive.org.
Okay.
And so you can search for a show that you want that's on archive.org, and it will generate an RSS feed that you can subscribe to.
One up yours, Archive is on there.
On Forble?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I went on there and I grabbed the This Year Collection Forble, and I downloaded the episodes that I wanted that I had lost, and I added all of One Up Yours, all of Games for Windows Radio, and all of the Retronauts archives from like 2005. Like, and I now have RSS feeds to all that stuff, so I don't have to worry about if they disappear again. And it's been like a complete blast to go back and listen to that stuff, because I remember listening to that like, you know, like what, 15 years ago, something like that? Like,
yep.
15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
But that was something really cool. So if there's like an old podcast that's on archive.org, like it was really neat that it made an RSS feed. And you can even tell it to like do like, oh, give me one new episode every week. Or you can just say, give me everything all at once. Like I just want to see it. I just want to see it all listed at once. So that was really cool to find.
Steve, we got to make sure Headshot isn't on there.
I mean, I'm kind of looking, and it's not, but...
That's good.
Headshot. So I think one of the other things I got back into, and I've been kind of interested to, like, talk to you, Steve, only because you live in the state. My best friend got me back into sports. About exactly a year ago, and I was always a Colorado Avalanche fan. And I went to visit my buddy last year on Memorial Weekend. He's like, "Hey, your team's in the playoffs. Do you want to watch a game?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure, whatever." I hadn't watched a hockey game in like, God, since 2004.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's been about that for me.
And he's like, "Hey, yeah, you just want to watch a game?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. I don't, whatever." And I watched that one game with him, and I came down and it was like a month later or like 2 weeks later, I'd subscribed to like ESPN Plus, and I was watching the rest of the playoffs, and my wife and I watched like every single game this past season for Colorado, and we actually went to a couple of hockey games too, which was
nice,
which was really nice. We went and saw Columbus versus Detroit, and then we went to Detroit to see them play Colorado.
Nice. That's cool.
And I was really mad that I couldn't just stay here in Columbus and see Colorado play Columbus. But because like we started looking for tickets at the beginning of the season, I was like, oh, I'll just get Colorado tickets when they come into town. No, they did some like World Series type thing, mm-hmm. where Colorado and Columbus went and played their two games in Finland.
It was some special. I'll have to look it up to remember what the heck it was, but yeah, there was some sort of they've been doing certain special super events now, and yeah. It's a little silly. I have been a hockey fan since I was, I don't know, two or three, and my team is the Boston Bruins, and as long as they're playing, I'll watch. I feel so bad
for you, man.
Yeah, don't get me started this year. We had the best record in like our franchise history this year.
And that's
year.
A curse. That's a curse.
I know. Hello, I'm from Boston. I know all about curses. Thank you. but it's one of those things where as long as I can watch my team, I will. I will watch other teams. Like when was it? Bork went from Boston to Colorado, right? Yeah. When Ray went to Colorado, I was an Avalanche fan for the time that he was there. Not that I don't dislike the, I don't dislike any hockey team.
I don't either.
Is there any hockey team that I really?
No, not really. Anyway. So funny enough, where I live in Windsor, Colorado, and it's close to Loveland, Colorado, which is where the Budweiser Event Center is. And the minor league for the Colorado Avalanche, the Colorado Eagles, play there. And I've won tickets to that before, but due to my current job, some of the perks are I can go to the games because we advertise through them. But I've seen the Eagles play. That's really cool. I haven't seen an Avalanche play yet. But I've seen like the Colorado Rockies for baseball. Mm-hmm. Their minor league is actually in Windsor, the Colorado Owls. So I can watch any of the minor leagues from like within 10 minutes of my house.
Nice.
Which is nice. And the majors are all about 45 to 50 minutes from my house. So it's like the distance of like Flint to Detroit. I mean, it's basically the same thing. But like, I'm not a basketball fan, but a lot of the people at work are, and they're like huge Nuggets fans, and they're like, they won, and it's like the first time ever or something. Yeah. So they were like ecstatic.
You know, Mike, that if you have ESPN Plus, you can watch every out of market hockey game, right?
Yeah, I know.
That's okay. Cool.
So, and then anything that airs on any other network shows up 24 hours after it's done on ESPN Plus.
That's great. That's amazing right there.
So we watched, I'm not kidding. We literally watched like every game. Like we even when we already like, so I always knew the score, but
right.
I always found it like, but my wife never knew the score. But so we always enjoyed watching it because I found that it was really interesting. Like, yeah, I know the score, but I don't know the story.
Okay.
Like, were they just like completely like blown out of the water, or like, especially if it's a loss, right? It's like, okay, how did they lose? Yeah, the score says they lost like 3-1, but like, was it like 2-1 the entire game, and then they just got like an empty net goal to make it 3-1, or were they just completely like out? Classed in any way, shape, or form. Like it was a lot of fun to see before the games was check the score. I didn't see who scored the goals. I didn't see when. I didn't see any of that. I just knew the final score when we would watch the games, and it was a lot of fun. It was really cool to have a block of, you know, you've got like October to for me, my season ended in April, but you know, you've got what, that's six, 7 months of like appointment viewing.
Yep.
And that was really nice to have something to like look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, so.
So, I mean, after 15 years of me podcasting, most people know, but I'll say it anyway. I grew up in around the South Shore of Massachusetts. I always say I'm from Boston, but technically I was just an hour south of Boston. And I'm sure this is this way in every other city and state here in the U.S. with teams and whatever else, but just for me, it hits a little different. In Boston, sports is religion. And you watched every game of the Patriots, Red Sox, Celtics, and Bruins every season. Win or lose, it didn't matter. You spend the time, you watch those games. Sometimes we win amazing wins. Sometimes we lose amazing losses and really crappy losses. And sometimes we have great, great moments. Like, you know, there are so many great moments in any sports team's history, depending on what the team is. And You just have to live in the moment when it comes to sports if you want to actually know the story of the sports. Or you could just, you know, watch all the documentaries and relive the moments that way and cheat. they did a – I think it was ESPN. I'm pretty sure because that's, you know – they did a special Boston Bruins, like 70 years or whatever, 50 years of Bruins history a couple of years ago. Well, it would be in 2020 because that would be 50 years from the time Bobby Orr did his amazing save thing and whatever else and all that to current at the time. And it's just, yeah, I mean, when I'm watching sport, like, everyone's like, oh, baseball is so boring. It's not boring. Everyone says it's boring to watch on television. And I'm like, it's the best game to watch on television because you can pretty much go anywhere you want in your house as long as you still hear the game. You know what I mean? Like, unless it's going to be one of those massive, immersive, oh, my God, it's a grand slam, or oh, my God, it's a 19-8 comeback or something or whatever it is. It just really depends, but. Yeah, I loved my entire – it's not something that we've talked about often on GCRN, but I have loved sports since I was 3 and 4 years old. I always have.
Yeah, I mean, Steve knows this, being from Michigan. That's like staunchly Red Wings.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You don't – and for me, you know – I got into hockey. My cousins got me into hockey in like the mid 90s, so like 93, 94 maybe. And then like Colorado came onto the scene from the Nordiques in like 95. And I'm not ashamed to admit this because it's a very funny story, and I will 100% stand behind it because it's also very much me. I knew like nothing about hockey. Like I knew the Red Wings. I knew like Yzerman and Fedorov and like the Russian line and all that. You know, Lindstrom, and I knew the all Russian that.
Five.
Yeah, and I knew all that, but like I didn't think the Quebec Nordiques were anything. Like, who cares? Like, because whatever. And then they moved to Colorado, and I kid you not, the only reason I became a Colorado Avalanche fan is because I like their jerseys.
Absolutely, yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah. Like I was like, because Detroit's jerseys are so bland. I know they're retro and they're like, you know, an original team and all that stuff, but like, man. But I just that period of my life where it was like, you know, something more bold than just red and white was I just liked the jersey. And then it just happened to be that the Nordiques were good and I didn't even know that. Like,
right.
And then there was the I knew who Patrick Waugh was. And when he got, you know, traded to Colorado, and I was like, oh, OK, now this is just over. But like living in Michigan, like. Like, in saying, like, my best friend knows I'm a Colorado Avalanche fan, and he doesn't give me any crap for it. But like going to college and like meeting new people and like them finding out that I'm like a Colorado fan, and they're like staunchly like any Michigan sports fan, like they just,
yeah,
they and it's the funniest thing, because like I like watching hockey games, but like I think my buddy said it best, like I just want to see a good hockey game. I don't really care like who's playing. And so like even when Colorado lost, I didn't get mad. I didn't like, I even like my wife and I even said like, the other team's playing really good and we're playing like crap. And it's not even saying like in an upset tone.
Yeah.
So it's like, but everyone thought they were like coming up to me saying like this, like really letting me have it by dissing on my team. And I'm like, did I diss on yours? No. I don't have a problem with Detroit. But you apparently have a problem with my team, and that's fine. You go ahead and say what you want to say. It doesn't bother me at all.
That's yeah, exactly. That's their problem. That's not your problem.
It just always amused me.
Like I mentioned with baseball and being able to basically, as long as you can hear it throughout your entire house, apartment, whatever your living situation is. Hockey's kind of the same way, but you actually want to watch it where you know something is going to – like somebody's going to break into a power play or
– a fist fight.
I was going to say this very – this doesn't happen too often, but back in the 70s and 80s, man, throw the gloves off, take the shirt, whatever. Like all that stuff happens all the time, and it's just a part of enjoying – what hockey is. Yes, I would prefer to watch the Bruins more than any other team, but that's not going to stop me from watching a different hockey game. I may not have any stake in the game, but at least I can enjoy and, you know, relish a good hockey game.
So that was a blast this year, and I stopped. So it was really weird. So Colorado got ousted in the first round, and I was surprised they even made it there with all the crap they had to go through all season long.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, Colorado's out. I'm not rooting for anybody else in the Western Conference. Like, it's got to be someone on the East Coast. And I'm sorry, Mike, I blame myself. I wanted Boston to win. And you'll see where I'm going here. You'll see where I'm going here. Okay.
Yeah.
So I wanted Boston to win. And so I started following, we were watching a couple of the Boston games, and Boston won there. Or no, they lost. They lost in their first round.
Yeah.
So the other thing that so then Allie and I were like, okay, it was, you know, Toronto made it past the Lightning for the first time, made it to the second round for the first time in like 20 years. Right.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, let's watch Toronto. Toronto will go, like, they'll beat whoever. And then Toronto lost.
Yep.
And then I was like, okay, I don't want the Panthers to win because I hate the Panthers. I think it was Carolina.
It's Carolina Panthers. Yep.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I want Carolina to win. Carolina lost. So then it was like, okay, all that's left is the Panthers, and I don't want them to win. And who cares? I'm sorry. I don't hate any hockey team, but I think the Vegas Knights are a joke. For some reason, the idea of Las Vegas having sporting teams.
All right. Let me give you an example here.
See, I didn't even know Vegas had a team, but I think that's because I've been out of the loop. Like, I wasn't aware of them, or like Seattle, or
don't even get me started on the Kraken.
A lot of them have updated their logos since I last paid attention to them.
And there have been a few expansion teams added over the last few years, like Seattle, whatever. The funny thing is that coming from Massachusetts and everything else, and we're used to losing. Winning for us is great when we do it, but most of the like, not to switch sports, but look, folks, just because most everyone knows the Patriots had 20 years of sort of cheated excellence. 20 years before that, when I was a kid, when Doug Flutie was playing quarterback for the Patriots never hardly won a damn thing. So, you know, it is. And the funny thing about some of these teams is some of these city, like the Nashville Predators. There was a who were they the farm team for? Out of all the cities in the entire Midwest, Louisville, Kentucky, back in the 90s, they had a farm team for somebody. I forget who it was. I don't think it was any of the Michigan teams. The Louisville River Frogs, and that's just because we're right by the Ohio River. Like, come on, give me a break. So you're right. Certain, like, you wouldn't expect Las Vegas, one of the hottest temperature-wise, hottest places in this country, to have a hockey team, but yet they do, and they won.
I think it's just the betting. It's the betting. Like,
for some reason,
I know, like, betting is a part of sports. Whatever, I get it. It's fine, but there's just something like. Like putting a hockey team where betting is like the currency. Like I don't.
Plus,
for some, they're Steve. I know you don't know. Mike, you probably know what they look like, but Steve, you can Google it if you want to. They have like, yeah, I just said that I love the Colorado Avalanche jerseys and stuff like that. The Knights and the LA Kings did this too, but the Knights have helmets that have a gold foil on them. They're chromed. It's gold. They're gold chromed helmets, and they are the gaudiest thing on the planet. And the Kings did it too, but they're chromed. They're chrome.
It looks like something you'd see in Flint, Michigan.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. I I don't really have anything like against the Knights. It's just they're just a, it's just weird that Vegas has a team. Like I don't know. I think because the Predators have been around longer, and for some reason the Columbus Blue Jackets are always a joke to me.
Yeah. Always.
They've like even when they were first announced, like in the early 2000s, like joke, just joke. And I don't
if it was a better like I don't understand that. I've never understood the whole name of the Blue Jackets. Like, I mean,
well, it's Civil War.
Okay. All right.
So well, we went to the hockey game. Allie didn't really get that either. And then, you know, when they score a goal, all the teams have their little like celebration or whatever.
Yeah.
And they fire a cannon off. Whenever wow. they score a goal, yeah, and in an enclosed space, it was the loudest. It freaked her out. She goes, "Why is there a cannon?" I'm like, "Do you not know why they're what?" she's like, "Oh." I'm like, yeah, it's annoying.
Yeah, it's so, very, yeah. So these golden helmets, so I like the Knights jerseys. I like the colors. But yeah, like, how do you not fire a puck at that helmet? Like,
yeah, I know. It's,
like,
yeah,
it's a shiny target. Like, damn.
Or how does crazy. It, like, Allie kept saying, like, how is that not cheating? Like, how are you not blinding other players?
I know, right? Yeah, exactly.
So, but yeah, no, It just sucked that every team I wanted. So next year, I know what to do next season, which is every team that I want to lose, I have to root for them because everyone that I wanted to win lost.
Right. So you got to apply the reverse psychology next season.
And then it got down to two teams that I could have cared less about. Like, so.
I mean, same thing for me with any sport. Unless, like, with hockey, I will watch. Any like basketball, baseball, football, I most likely won't watch if my team's not in the final games because I don't care. Like Super Bowl, I watch the Super Bowl for the commercials, but I can catch those on YouTube like 45 minutes after they air.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Have you guys? I don't know. I don't know what your guys' overall situation is or how you're feeling about like. Public spaces. I know everyone's a little bit different, but like, have you guys like what? Have you guys seen any movies, like new movies or anything like that recently?
Steve,
I have not been to the movie theater since the last Terminator movie came out.
Oh,
I haven't been to the movie theater since I think 2018 when Karen and I saw, but
I have seen a lot of more recent films.
Yeah, we've seen stuff. We just haven't gone to the theaters.
So like, what's the last, like, have you guys all seen Across the Spider-Verse?
Not yet. I'm waiting for digital.
Okay.
You don't care.
No. I care. I'm like 20 minutes in.
Yeah, he's not commenting, that's why.
Okay, all right.
But I've seen Rise of the Beast. I'm waiting to see The Flash, because I care about it because of Keaton. Otherwise, I don't care.
All right, I guess we can kind of touch on this. With the exception of Spider-Verse, we can touch on this for a second. Sure. So, Allie and I, since we started kind of like, since like spring of last year, we will... get advanced tickets for screenings for movies, and then we'll like hold on to them, and then the day will come around and we'll like take one last like evaluation in stock and be like, do we actually want to go
right
to this movie? And so like last year, I think we only saw like, I remember seeing Doctor Strange 2 and Top Gun in the theater, because I can't not see Top Gun in the theater. Like, that's just, that's nonsense. And I think, I'd have to look, but I can't even remember going to see anything else in the theater last year other than those two movies. And only one of them was good, and that was Top Gun.
Right.
And that's because we kept getting tickets, and then we would cancel them. And this year, we went and saw, like, more movies. But just recently, we went and saw like a succession of movies, and we always go to the same theater, the same house, the same seats. And the experience is just, there's always been something like off or wrong with the theater. And I don't like with that particular house. And it really irritates me. and it's like started irritating Allie. So like we had tickets for like Rise of the Beast. Mm-hmm. We were going to go on Saturday, and like, you know, we went and did a grocery pickup and we got home, and I was like, okay, listen, I'm going to do the smart thing here. And I'm just going to say, like, if you don't feel like going, like we don't need to go. And like, she was like super relieved to not.
Right. Like, exactly. She's like, I'm so glad you said something.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, you know, you can say you don't want to go. Like, yeah. I'm not like, we've done this for like the last like year and a half. Like, if you say you're like, I'm not going to be mad because you don't want to go to a movie. I don't, whatever. So we canceled the ticket for Rise of the Beast. And then we had tickets for Flash, because I care about Flash, but I care about it in the sense that it's the end of the Snyderverse. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows who's listened to any of these older podcasts that are on Geekcast Radio, like, I like the Snyderverse stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to fight anybody or argue anybody about it, but I like it. So, but she was like, do you mind if we just cancel that too? And I was like, yeah, we don't, you know, the only other movie I care about seeing this year is Mission Impossible 7. So I don't like, I'll buy, like, I've already pre-ordered Rise of the Beast. So I've got that coming, and then I'm waiting for Flash to go up for pre-order, and I'll grab that too. I don't need to go to the theater to know that I'm going to buy the disc for that. But, I just kind of like, I've seen this year, it's been really interesting going to the movies. Like, it's been refreshing to go and see non superhero movies.
So what movies have you all seen?
So I watched one of
our non superhero movies.
Well, one of the earliest movies that we saw this year, that I really enjoyed was 65.
Okay.
Or
that's the one with Adam Driver and the time travel.
Yes. And
how was it?
I liked it. It was 90 minutes, and it was a tight 90 minutes, and it knew what it was going to be.
That's rare. They're both.
Yeah, it was really tight. Like, there wasn't it knew what it was, and it wasn't trying to be anything else other than. I mean, the plot is in the trailer. It's I've crash landed, and I need to get home. Like, I need to get from point A to point B and get home. There is no, like, I don't know. It was so dead simple. It was just so easy to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And then,
have you seen Super Mario Brothers?
Yes,
that was really good.
It was.
Very, I was surprised.
And actually, what really surprised me about it was Allie saw it twice, and she hates Mario. Hates Mario. Like, she thinks Mario is like overplayed, but that's because like she doesn't like. She sees she sees Mario 64 and Mario Party as like the same game.
They're not.
it's still Mario. Like,
right. Yeah.
So how many games? Like, if I sit down and think about it, like, Mario's been in like 8 games. There's only been 8 Mario games. Like, there's dozens of Mario Tennis and Mario Karts and Mario Parties and all that other stuff. But there's only 8 Mario games.
Yeah.
But to her, there's 40 Mario games, and it's overkill. And I get where she's coming from.
Yeah.
So, you know, she was kind of skeptical about wanting to go see the Marvel movie, and we went and saw it, and we both had a really good time with it. We thought it was funny and cute and didn't overstay its welcome too much. And it was very pretty to look at. And then I think it was a couple weeks later, I went with some friends to see Evil Dead Rise. Okay. And Allie she doesn't like horror movies, so she didn't want to watch that. So she went and saw the Mario movie again by herself, but we went to Evil Dead Rise.
That's awesome.
But, so yeah, she liked it enough to actually see it twice. And then another like surprise thing. Have either of you guys seen the Dungeons and Dragons movie?
Nope.
No.
It's amazing. It's great.
Really?
Yes.
Granted, I shouldn't be surprised. It's got Chris Pine in it.
It's okay. There's a I don't think it's not spoiling anything. I think it might be just setting expectations. It's not. If you don't know anything about it, it's not Jumanji.
Okay.
It's not people sitting around a table and then they're showing you what they're doing.
So it's like a lived-in world.
It's Lord of the Rings, but D&D.
Oh, okay.
It's not like there's people sitting around a table and they're like, there's like a storyteller and they're telling the story and then it like fades into the fantastical world and you see their characters that are like, Chris Pine is not somebody's character on a character sheet that somebody in the real world is playing.
Yeah, it's not AR, VR, any of that.
Yeah, stuff. It's played straight. Like, yeah. You're in that world like you're in a Lord of the Rings movie. But the great thing about it is it feels like a tabletop campaign. Like, you see the decisions that somebody was making or where somebody failed a role or, like, it's just a lot of fun.
That's cool.
It's probably one of the, it might be, you know, without having seen Mission Impossible 7, it might be the best movie I've seen this year. But.
Well, with every behind the scenes thing I've seen of Dead Reckoning Part 1, I don't know how they're going to beat the expectations of Part 1. Like, they go bigger and better every film now, and man.
Well, so I feel like there's two ways to do that, right? And this goes back to another movie I've seen recently, and I, if I remember correctly, Mike, I think you have a small soft spot for the series. But bigger and better has two different definitions, right? There's bigger and better Fast and Furious.
Yep.
And then there's bigger and better Mission Impossible.
Well, no, okay, so let's say this the proper way. There's bigger and more outrageous, which is the Fast and the Furious and totally unbelievable. And then there's the real world stuff that Mission Impossible does that could actually be thought of them pulling off properly.
Yeah, but the Mission Impossible movies are so... Allie and I are in the middle of rewatching them, getting ready for Dead Reckoning. They're so good. They are.
I love that series. I've loved that series since 1996 when I saw the first film in theaters back then when I was 16 years old.
No, I will say the only one that hasn't aged right to me is Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah, a lot of John Woo films don't age well. I mean,
I think for me what it is like it. Okay, so when that movie came out, it was a 2000 movie, right? So
yeah, I was 20. So
okay, so I was 19. I was turning 19 when that movie came out, and like that movie, like okay, so coming from Mission Impossible, the first one, being a teenager, the first Mission Impossible was cool, but it didn't really land with me. And then Mission Impossible 2 was the only thing I really had to compare it to when it came out. And to me, Mission Impossible 2 was like the better movie because kung fu and motorcycles and just dumb crap that's happening.
Yeah.
Like, and so like, I just remember being like a teenager and be like, this movie's awesome. It's so much better than the first one. And now it's the one that like sticks out like a sore thumb on a rewatch. It's just like, it's so bad.
And you and I can have a whole separate discussion over on Studio 2009 about this franchise again if you want to, because I do plan on, obviously, I don't know if I'm going to the theater to see Dead Reckoning, but I do want to see those eventually when they come out on digital. It's one of those things where...
It's a product of its time.
It's a product of the year 2000, but also, again, like I said, it's a John Woo movie, and compared to... I don't have it pulled up. I don't remember was it Brian De Palma that did the first one?
Yes.
Wow. I can't believe I remembered that. You go from Brian De Palma to John Woo and it's like, holy crap, this is the coolest thing ever. And then they go on and go forward through the other 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever. And the second movie is, I think the reason why it's so separated from the rest of the franchise is because it's the sore thumb on the hand that is Mission Impossible.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I know they've used the like that was the first time they used the face masks. I know they've used them in films since then, but it's kind of like watching Mario 64 and then Mario, what's the, not Party, what's the newest, like, non-part, okay, they, yeah.
Odyssey,
that's what it is. Mario 64 on the N64 compared to Mario Odyssey on Nintendo Switch. Two completely different looks, and they've obviously improved so much with that. And that's kind of the thing with the second film is, what I love about that movie is the music in that movie. The Hans Zimmer score from the second film. I can listen to that soundtrack, that score, over and over and over again.
Well, it was also Metallica did the theme song, right?
Yeah, I could do without that. The score from Zimmer, the actual instrumental score from the movie. Yeah, Metallica, disappear. Please, disappear, Metallica.
So the one thing I learned, because like I'm doing like these rewatches that Allie and I do, like I'll, while the opening credits are going on in a movie, I will read IMDb and read the trivia section.
Okay.
Apparently Mission Impossible 2, and I didn't realize this, but it's held up so far. Mission Impossible 2 is the only movie where Ethan actually goes on a mission.
Yeah.
In all the other ones, he's either been disavowed or on the run.
Yep.
But Mission Impossible 2 is the only one where he's had a mission.
Yep. You're right. Because, so first one, he was disavowed. He had to go underground. Third one, were they disavowed? Yeah, they were. Ghost Protocol, let's not even go over the Vatican Wall. And then 5 and 6 were back-to-back disavowments, or he was disavowed through the whole time because it was essentially a part. What do you think of, like, say, Mission Impossible, I'm going to say 2 just because, where it's more of a single story versus the multi-part, like, technically Rogue Nation and Fallout were part 1 and part 2 of each other?
Because it was,
yeah.
So they obviously those movies and 7 and 8 are all done by the same director.
Mm-hmm.
But he told Cruise the only way that he would direct those movies is if he could apply a different look and feel and visual style to those movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the crux of the Mission Impossible franchise was you get a new director for each one. So they all have a different distinct feel.
Yeah.
But I do know that it started with Rogue Nation, or the seeds were kind of planted at the end of
Ghost Protocol,
but that with the rise of the Marvel films,
mm-hmm.
they were able to do more of a connected storytelling.
Like the individuality of the first 3 films, but the rest of it, I like the storytelling. I like what they've done. I like what McQuarrie has done as a director with the franchise. I remember after seeing the second one back in 2000, I'm like, I don't know where this franchise is going, but I'm here for it. And all these years later,
I don't think I can get her to do it.
You mean it'll be difficult?
Very.
Well, this is not Mission Difficult, Mr. Hunt. It's Mission Impossible. Difficult should be a walk in the park for you.
There's something like, I know people like going back to Fallout, because that was that was the most recent one in theaters. Like I remember like hearing people talk about how like boring like the Mission Impossible movies are and stuff like that. And I just kept going like I just have to think that people don't, the average moviegoer probably thinks those movies are boring, but they don't realize what they're seeing.
Yeah.
Like I'm in this particular instance, I'm referencing the Halo jump that they did in the beginning of Fallout, and like in any other movie, like yeah, sure, your Fast and the Furious movie is way more kinetic and the camera is moving everywhere, and like, but that's because a lot of it isn't real. Like they can put the camera wherever they want, but when you're doing something as intricate as like the Halo jump and they're actually doing it, like you can't, the camera can't move.
Yeah. No, like, exactly.
People are just so conditioned to seeing like action being something like the camera moves all over the place and whips you around. Like what they used to call it, like MTV style editing.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the Mission Impossible movies don't do that because they can't.
Yeah, no. Because they're reliant on real world things that could potentially actually happen. So you take, all right, perfect example. And I just posted about this earlier today as we're recording this. We are 2 years away from Pierce Brosnan's 30th anniversary of him being in GoldenEye. And you take that damn jump that he did in the beginning of the movie, and you take the Halo jump from Fallout, same kind of stuff, where the camera is static and not moving, but the action is moving around it. That yep. is better in the instance of those separate, obviously Bond and Mission Impossible are separate universes, but for those specific universes and characters, having the camera not move, whereas you can have Dom breakdancing and having the camera move all around him and people are going to love it because it's Dominic Toretto, you know. You can have him fly into space in a GTO or whatever the hell he does. I don't remember.
I think they don't realize they're seeing something. They're seeing something real being filmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Reality is bitten them in the eyes.
I also saw Fast 10.
I haven't yet. I need to. I wait for all the digital stuff because I don't drive. I don't go. I don't leave my apartment half the time. So
that's fine.
It was fun. That's good.
I mean, it's a Fast and the Furious movie. You already know what you're getting.
Well, yeah.
So
I mean, every single trailer and clip that they've shown, I know what I'm getting. Besides the fact that I've been a fan of the franchise for 22 years. Wow, God, I am old. Damn it. What's it like down there, feeling like a young whippersnapper, Steve?
I don't feel that old or that young. I'm working with people that are younger than me. I was trained by a whole store of people that were younger than me.
You know what's weird? Not to go off on another little tangent here, but I don't know if you've ever felt this way, Steve, because like working in like an environment like with other people, like anyone that is in a position like of like higher than me, like, you know, like a manager or an assistant, or like just someone higher up the ladder than me, like I always think that they're older than me. Like, I don't know why.
I like to think that too, but doesn't always apply.
And that's the thing. Like, I've noticed that recently. Like at work, like I'm one of the older people in my department. Like, and I think I might be older than like my bosses. And it's, but like I it's only like, and I don't, even, but I don't like think about it regularly. Like I just think like anyone that's like a higher level person than me in like the company is automatically older than me. But I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Like. Just in general, like
I typically think of them as like, I mean, in the last place I worked, they were older than me. But where I work now, if you work in corporate, they're older than me. If they work in the store level, they're all pretty much younger than me, which I had because where I work now, they made you have to do training at the local stores before you went to corporate. That's for any position. And I was hired into corporate, but I was like, oh, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. How old are you? You know, and then they were like, oh, I'm 28. And they're the site manager, like the store manager. And I was like, oh, I was like, I was thinking at least they were on par with my age, but they're not. So I felt like very old with everybody else I was working with.
What's that one movie with Dennis? Is it Dennis Quaid and Ashton Kutcher?
Good Company.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so just, that's a deep cut.
Yeah.
I thought I was one of the only people who ever saw that movie.
Yeah, I saw that movie. I had it on DVD for a while. Yeah, it was, and it wasn't Ashton Kutcher. It was Topher Grace.
Oh, well, it might have been better if it was Ashton Kutcher. Yeah.
It worked. He's the character's kind of a Weasley character, so it kind of works. But what was funny about it is they all knew I was being trained at the store level to understand what they do, but also knowing I was going to corporate. So they were all really nervous around me because they were like, oh, he's corporate guy and we're training him, you know? And it's like, I was the one that was more nervous because I was like, I got a bunch of young people showing me how to do this job.
You're the cop behind everybody on the expressway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they were afraid of. They're like, we got to do this right because he's going to go up into the corporate office. And yeah, man. So it was just interesting, but it's just weird seeing myself as the old one now.
I still don't feel old.
I don't feel old. It's just weird when you put the numbers of age out there and then you're comparing it with the people you work with. And then you're like, oh, crap, I am older.
I think I feel old when I think about, like, the dates for things.
Okay.
Like, the fact that Jurassic Park is 30 years old.
Yeah. Or like, when you have to sign up for something and you have to, like, kind of keep scrolling to hit your year.
Yes, that too.
I've noticed that one recently, like, because I've had to fill out a lot of stuff.
Just, you know, let us just type in the year.
Like, I know, it's so much simpler. I feel older when I have to do the scroll away and watch it just keep rolling down until it hits, like, 20 years, and then I'm like, I got to do it again.
Or on a survey, you don't get to pick one of the first two age brackets.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Damn it, now I'm in the third one.
20 to 39, 40 to 49. Whoops, too far. Yeah. Man. I don't know what it is about, I don't want to say ageism, but ageism. Because of the physical things I've gone through and all of that lately in the last, well, my whole life, but let's just say the last 5 or 6 years, I feel older now than I did when I was 33, and that was a decade ago. So, and this is funny because when I was 33, somebody thought I was 23, and I'm like, no, sadly not. That hasn't been in a while. And it just, I get up every morning, I go do the exercise that I try to do. Some days I can't do it, some days I can do it. But before I get up every morning, my back cracks. Like my whole body will crack. And it's like, oh God, really? That's how that's how I feel old at this point, is the physical being of old, as far as like this doesn't work. This isn't supposed to, you're supposed to get up and have a pep in your step, not need Pepto-Bismol at the first sight of the morning. God, it just sucks. And then there was where I'm trying to find something specifically for you, Mike, and I can't find it. There was a image I shared on Facebook a while back where it's hockey, keeping the tooth fairy in business since 1875. And I'm like, yep, I feel that image.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know, right?
Steve, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this, and I'm only going to ask it because we've never played video games together.
Okay.
And I know you like shooters. Have you dabbled in the Fortnite Zero build at all?
I have not.
Okay, well, if you ever want to, let me know, because the Zero build stuff is a lot of fun.
Fortnite Zero build?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to take a look at that. I do have Epic Games, but for an entirely different reason. I got the new Star Trek Resurgence game.
Okay.
By the Telltale Games Remnants.
Yeah.
Okay. They sent it to me for review, and so I recently re-downloaded all of the Unreal Epic Games launcher. And I think I tried Fortnite a while back, a couple of years ago, but I couldn't get it. Like, as far as, like, so, I didn't understand it.
So when Fortnite was all about building, if you didn't know how to build in Fortnite, you were SOL. And okay. That turned a lot of people off.
That's probably why I stopped playing it. I tried it a couple of times and I was getting nowhere. And so I just decided, okay, I'll just not play this one.
Yeah, because if you're not playing with, like, so it's if you're playing in builds and you're not playing with if you're doing solos and you're just starting and you're playing in builds, like, it's not going to be fun, because if you're not willing to put in the time to I say this with in all seriousness, if you're not willing to put in the time to get good, like, then it's a horrible experience if you're playing by yourself. But I was fortunate enough to be able to play with my friends, like, through, like, in the builds, and I even, like, disable building on my controller, like, altogether. I just got good at killing people using their own builds against them.
that's probably my favorite comment.
So,
because that's what I did in Battlefield 4 or Battlefield 1. I would detonate the buildings that they were in rather than go after them.
Yep, that's what I did. That was my strategy for the whole thing. But last year last December, actually, you know what? Again, time is so messed up right now. No, it has to have been, because sometime last year, I want to say it might have been like December. They added in. Nope, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I don't know. Anyway, at some point within the last year, okay, they added a new mode. They basically split the player base down the middle. So they have traditional battle royale, which has all your building in it and everything. And then they have a zero build mode, which is just a battle royale. 100 people still drop into the lobby and you pick up all your loot, but you don't have to worry about somebody being better at building than you. All you have to do is worry about being better at shooting somebody than they are. So interesting. It's just a third person shooter now. So if you've played Battlefield and all that other stuff, like, it's that, like, if you, you know, so I don't know if you ever want to give it another try. My buddies and I always play it. So,
okay. I'll definitely check that out.
Mike, you're more than welcome to join too. I don't want to cut you out, but I've never really heard you talk about shooters at all.
Well, I used to like them. So anybody remember America's Army?
Kind of.
It's a long time ago. This was like 2002, 2003. It was like,
was it on a console? Because I don't.
No, it was PC. Yeah, it was.
Then
PC.
No.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, I started my life on consoles when I was a kid, and then sometime in the late 90s, Twisted Metal 3, 4, and Crash Bandicoot 2 sent me to the PC, and Spyro 2 or 3 sent me to the PC. But, yeah, for me, it's like, outside of my lovely NES and SNES Classic that I've had for years, SNES Classic, brought to you by Michael Powers, you know, outside of
you don't
that...
You don't have to credit me. You paid me for it. It's not like I gave it to
you. I don't care. I'm still going to credit you. I remember the one thing he said, if I sell this to you, you can't ever sell. I'm like, whole point of buying it from you is so I can play these games again. I'm never getting rid of this thing. This thing will, you know, it's going to outlive. It'll be buried with me even though I'm being cremated. you know, that, and I play that, and I play GTA 4 by myself when I need to de-stress. Like, I don't play video games the way I used to the past 40 years of my life. I just don't. It's just not my thing anymore.
All right. No, that's totally fine.
It's just the, I don't know. People are like, a couple other friends are like, oh, we'd like to have, I'm like, yeah, no, I don't deal with any of that. I would rather sit here for 2 hours talking about absolutely nothing or everything than play a video game for 2 hours with more than one other person.
See, that doesn't bother me. I just, as long as I'm having a good time, I don't really care.
I think the next game I'm going to try to stream is Final Fantasy 16, for as big as that game is. That'll be a pain in the ass to try to stream.
What is going on in 16? What's the story of? I'm not.
I have no idea what the story is.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't tell you. I played the demo recently. They released a demo, and that was enough to get me. I mean, I was interested in it before, but like now I kind of the demo, like, so it's not a traditional Final Fantasy. There's no more menu based combat. It's it's kind of more Devil May Cry.
Okay.
Like a third person action adventure game. Then it's not like you're running around and all of a sudden you get in a fight and menus pop up on the screen.
Right. Yeah.
So you it's not that anymore. And it's, so that will make it a lot more fun, I think, to be able to stream, because it's more interesting to look at. But I was kind of worried about it because it's like you hear, oh, okay, you made this into a Devil May Cry game, and I love Devil May Cry, and I like Bayonetta, and I like God of War, and all those types of games. And it's like, hey, you guys have never really done this before, and the couple of times you did, you weren't good at it. But they seem to have, at least in the demo that I played, they seem to have gotten it. It felt really good. Combat felt really good, so that was made me feel more a lot better about playing it. Plus, my wife is actually interested in playing it because I got her to play the Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Nice, yeah.
Earlier this year, I was like, hey, why don't you, I'll sit next to you on the couch while you play this. Like, because I had already played it and I kind of wanted to revisit it again. And she's like, okay, as long as you stay here on the couch with me and play it. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And so she played through the whole thing. She did it. She did it all herself, managed all her material and spells and equipment and all this other stuff. And
cool.
And then she's like, oh yeah. And she said, none of these are like sequels. And cause you know, she's playing seven. She's like,
yeah, huh? Exactly. Yeah.
She's like, I don't have to play any of the other ones. It's like, no, the only a couple of them have sequels and they have nothing to do with each other. They have like, they share elements.
Yeah.
But
they're all individual stories of each other.
Yeah. And she's like, that's just so weird. I'm like, yeah, it's,
well, it's weird because they're calling it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 17, whatever. Like,
yeah.
They want to keep that numbering because they've had that. It's like DC Legacy numbering. Oh my God. Even though we rebooted, we have to have DC issue 1000 or whatever.
Well, the whole thing gets even dumber when you realize there's Final Fantasy X-2.
Yes, that's.
And Final Fantasy 13-2 and 13-3. Yeah.
It's like, just make the next number.
Exactly. Like, yeah, they're on like Final Fantasy 20 at this point.
That's about as dumb as how Colorado names roads out here.
Oh, no. This ought to be interesting.
Uh-oh. Well, we have roads that'll be like. Like when I lived in Greeley, it was 18th Street Road.
Yes.
Or they'll do, like, there'll be a county road, but it'll have four different names for the street. And depending on who you talk to or what form of Google it is for the maps or something else, it depends on what the road is called. So it might be called County Road 13, but it has another sign that'll say, like, 64 no yeah. 64 and a half road.
Yes
or it'll have, you know, Larimer County 13, or, you know, just some, like, it'll change, like, depending on what spot you're sitting at, but it'll be the same road all the way down. I watched one road change from 42nd Street to 60 to US 66 to County Road, like 50 or something. Like, it would change names like four times in the span of like four or five miles.
Yeah.
And it was the same straight shot.
Come get your kicks on Route 66. Yeah, it's like, and this is so weird, and we're geeks, folks. We've been talking about all kinds of geeky things in the last hour and a half or so. I don't understand addresses that have halves on them. My cousin Heather used to live at I forget what street it was, but it was 400 and a half. I'm like,
it wasn't a split house?
No. It was one whole house. No. And even with a split house or a split level or a duplex, I grew up in a duplex. It was 184 Main Street was one side, and we were on 186 Main Street, which was the other side of the same house. It's just weird. Crazy. And I've only told, I think I may have mentioned this to Steve at one point or another. If I haven't, sorry. News to you, sir. I mentioned the GCRN Origins earlier. I'm working with one person who I've worked with in the past a couple of times, but I may work with you guys to get it up and running. I am adding to the GCRN Origins because I have been wanting to do some sort of video game something for years. The only way I think to do it is to take 30 questions that are all about cartoons and transform them into questions about video games. So we're going to have a Gamer Origins thing sometime this year. I don't know when, but sometime this year. What else? What else you got on your mind, Mike?
Two things, real quick. Well, one I can ask when we're done recording because I don't want to record it. But the other one is, Steve, you said you're in the middle of watching Across the Spider-Verse. I don't know if you guys have anything planned for like when you're done watching that, but I would like to have a conversation like maybe on the next episode or something about.
Oh yeah, totally.
About that, because like I've talked with like some people about it, but like I I'm just trying to get like I have a thought and an opinion on Across the Spider-Verse, and I would just like to be able to share that. So.
Oh yeah,
totally. And I don't want to spoil anything for you, so.
So we're not going to spoil it for him. I will say that I have had plans ever since the sequel was announced to do reviews of both films, one per episode, over on Tooncast. And right now, Tooncast is about to release its 300th episode. After that, anything is fair game. So if the four of us want to do it, or three of us want, I can't see any. My eyes are just...
Double meanness. Vision.
Yeah. I'm a foreigner in my own podcast.
I knew that was going to happen.
Well,
so if the three of us want to discuss the two films, absolutely.
I'm game.
Yeah.
So just to preface another quick thing, not a spoiler, Steve. You know this is like part one, right?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure. Just making sure. I know there were a lot of mad people, so.
I don't know. I had seen the trailers. I had seen whatever websites posted about it, whatever Wikipedia had about it before it was released, and I figured it was going to be part one of two because I remember something somewhere where they said, oh, the Spider-Verse movies, it's going to be a trilogy.
Well, when they announced Across the Spider-Verse, it was part one. It had the subtitle of part one, and then they dropped it from all the marketing.
Yeah,
that's funny.
So they're people went and saw it, and don't follow stuff as closely as we do. Let's be honest here.
Yep.
Mass market anything causes problems for people that don't follow it as closely as we do. They were mad. But I just wanted to make sure to help set expectation.
Absolutely. Yep.
Well, but, The one show I've really enjoyed as of late, and Mike knows, Blanchard knows where I'm going with this, is Star Trek Picard, season 3. And I say season 3 because season 1 and 2, I like to pretend, other than the few nods that it's given in season 3, it doesn't exist.
Can you watch season 3 without the first two?
You can. Nothing, it references two things that happen, and one in season 1, one in season 2, and then you really don't have to watch them. They're very convoluted and terribly written. Season 3 is very well done. It's done by the guy that did, he was a production assistant and a writer on Voyager and Enterprise, so he's part of the old guard.
Okay.
And there's a lot of callbacks in his production, his season three, that kind of tie back to Wrath of Khan and the original series films and some of the Next Generation films and Voyager's ending. Nothing's really, I mean, it's very heavily tied into the old stuff.
Okay.
So it's not, if you've not watched any recent Trek,
you can come into this cold.
Pretty much.
Well, I tried watching Picard, but I tried watching it from the beginning, and I don't even think I made it through the first episode, man. I was bored. I was uninterested in what was like happening. Like, I don't even think I could give it the two episodes shake. But then I'm hearing all this like great stuff about like season three, and I'm just like,
actually made it to the top 10 streaming of Nielsen. And season one and two didn't, and none of the other new tracks have made it on that top 10 list. Only Picard season three.
And that's like, I'm just like, I want to watch it, but I don't want to have to sit through the first two. But like, it's so weird. It would be so weird for me to watch like a TV show like that. Like,
if you want like a primer, I can tell you.
No, I don't think that's.
So you can skip season one and two.
I'm pretty sure there's like a previously on or something when you start the first episode, right?
Yeah, probably.
Of what? Season three?
Yeah. Like,
it kind of starts with its own fresh storyline. A lot of the nonsense storylines of season one and two were dumped.
Okay.
there's a life event that happens for Picard in the last episode of season one. And there's a life event that happens in the last episode of season two. And if I recommend anything, watch those two episodes. Okay. And forget the rest of the season, because none of it matters.
There you go. Season finales, and then start with season three and start fresh. Yeah, I've always had a defiant fascination with Star Trek, so I live on the outskirts of that universe. The only episode of Picard I've ever seen is when Number One and Deanna Troi show back up in season one, wasn't it, Steve?
Season one, episode seven, Nepenthe.
Yeah.
Or six episodes.
No, it was seven. Okay, yeah, it was, yeah.
Because there's 10 episodes a season, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it was.
Yep.
Yeah, season one and two were two was worse, I felt, but one just had excessive gore and terrible writing. It was very bland.
I heard so many negative things about the second season, not that I was going to watch it anyway.
It was just convoluted, and a lot of it I think they threw things in there just because they wanted to do it, and it was just bad. Season three, I definitely would recommend. They retconned some things and have some nice little Easter eggs in it that I enjoyed.
Is Strange New Worlds as good as everyone thinks it is?
What's wonderful about that is they took the old school formula of Star Trek, of it's episodic. So if you watch an episode and you really like it, you can watch it out of context because it's not tied to an overarching seasonal arc. Yes, like it's like TNG in the sense of the characters have an arc, like as they evolve over the season, but
the episodes don't.
But the episodes don't. Like, the plot lines do not converge on the next episode or have really any bearing unless, you know, a character dies or something.
Okay.
So it's very much like TNG in that regard. So if you're a fan of the old stuff, it kind of scratches that itch and does it pretty well.
I've been thinking about watching that, and I think I watched two or three seasons of, what was the other one? What was the first one that came back?
Discovery.
Yes.
That one's terrible. It doesn't matter what season you watch. The only one that was bearable was season two, and that's because it had Captain Pike.
I think having not seen Strange New World or only the first episode or two of Picard, the only new Star Trek that they've made that I've actually enjoyed is Lower Decks.
Lower Decks has actually been really good, and Prodigy isn't that bad either.
So,
but yeah, and they talked about doing like a Section 31 movie or a TV series, but they've decided to do it as a movie instead, which I'm thankful that they're going to do like basically direct to streaming movies of some of their ideas rather than turning them into series.
But I've
enjoyed Strange New Worlds, and like I said, Picard season 3, it was like a nice kick of nostalgia, but also returning the characters to their kind of true to form writing styles and interactions. Like, basically he dumps, because they pretty much wipe all of the slate clean with characters from seasons 1 and 2 by the end of season 2. So season 3, there's like 2 holdovers and everybody else is like TNG cast.
Okay.
So I and the jokes and the, you know, the banter between characters, it feels like you're watching TNG. So it's very natural, and like, and then they have creative ways of bringing people back.
Okay.
So I definitely recommend it.
I'll probably give it a shot here eventually, because I'm running out of, I spend more time scrolling through all my streaming services looking for something to watch than actually watching something.
Yeah, I typically do that too.
It's you know, it's mostly because like there's stuff that I watch, but like if I've gotten really good at, I can watch an episode or two and be like, I need to show this to Allie. Mm-hmm. And then it, when, you know, she sits down and she watches it with me and she likes it, like I will no longer watch an episode without her. So right. Then the next time I sit down to go and watch something, now I have to start all over again and go on the hunt and try to find something else. And yeah,
my upteenth rewatch of White Collar. And I, for the first time in, well, since it aired 22 years ago, I found that Amazon Prime has The Pretender with Michael T. Weiss and all that. So I'm going back and rewatching that show.
I have been watching Silo on Apple TV, which nobody has.
Yes. So. Yeah. Sorry. There are plenty of things that have been on Apple TV that I would love to watch. I think I have. Somebody sent me a video file for The Banker, which was the Anthony Mackie movie that was on there. It's him and somebody else, I forget.
Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, that's the, yep. Yeah. Nick Fury and Captain America. Yay. Robin Banks.
I think I'm about talked out. I'm just saying this is more talking than I've done with anybody about anything. And well, not counting my wife, but this is more talking than I've done with anybody about anything in a while.
Awesome.
Consecutively, for a consecutive amount of time. Yeah. So this has been
a blast.
Yeah.
Just like old times.
Catching up too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like riding a bike. Once you get on, you remember how it works.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm installing Fortnite, so I'll see if I can figure out how to play again and then go from there. And I'm going to do the zero build just to kind of familiarize myself with it.
What is your you can share this after the stream's over, because I have a question I want to ask you guys after the stream's over too.
Or after sounds the good.
Record's over.
You are more than welcome to come on to the Cartoon Origins or anything that you want, like anything you want, you know, us to do. It's fine. You want to come back next week and talk whatever we want to talk next week, it's fine too. So
you know, always what welcome. I do want to come back. I'm going to take baby steps here. I don't want to like spook myself out of like more appearances. So I like I like the potential every other week of Altered Geek for now.
Yeah. But, well, that's I didn't necessarily mean next week.
I'm just saying, I'm just talking, but I do want to say, Mike, because this is just a quick aside, don't need to get really in depth with it, but I know that we had talked like a couple of years ago about like the doing like a, you want to do like a pull bag on like Why the Last Man and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Did you watch the series?
No, I never even read the comic.
The series was so, oh man, the show was actually really good and they canceled it.
Isn't that the way though? You like something, you think it's really good, and everybody else likes it, and everybody else thinks it's really, oh, if this is really good, then we must take it away from these people because they can't have nice things.
Well, I think what it was is it was all done, like, it was shot like either right before before or during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't release it. They didn't release it for like 2 years.
Yeah. And
so like everyone that they had like, that was like under contract was like no longer on. So even if they wanted to go, it was going to be like really expensive to get everything running again.
That's so sad.
Because it took them forever to get it to TV, and it was so good. I just wanted to say, because you and I had talked like on and off again about doing like a pullback for like the Why the Last Man. That just popped in my head because that was another TV show, and it was really good and gone.
That seems to be how it all goes.
All good things are gone.
Holy bat logic. Let's go.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Well, thank you guys for joining me on this episode of Altered Geek. And of course, the listeners can comment on this episode on the website, geekcastradio.com, or reach out to at least TFG and Mike and I on the socials. Everybody kind of knows where to find me at this point.
At SCP21 on Twitter, and I am at TFG and Mike. You can also follow at GeekCast Radio and at Altered Geek on Twitter or on Facebook, wherever else. Just go to the website, geekcastradio.com. Check out all our episodes there. Guys, we are summer months away from this podcast turning 10 years old.
It's crazy.
He doesn't sound like he's amused with that. He's just like indignant. Ten years.
I just remember kind of where it all started. I also remember like Steve coming over and us messing around with like video editing and stuff like that.
I remember that. That was one additional year before that.
Yep. 2012 was the video version.
Yep.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.